This is an Aero News Touch and Go for July 6, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. The recent Air France Flight 447 catastrophe in the South Atlantic has shown an unwelcome spotlight on the shortcomings of decades-old flight recorder technology. Airbus now says it's begun studying remedies, including extended data transmission for commercial airliners, so that in the event of accidents, critical flight information can still be recovered for investigators. CEO Tom Enders commented, quote, "Various technical means for reinforcing flight data recovery and data transmission to ground centers are principally available. We will now study different options for viable commercial solutions, including those where our experience with real-time data transmission from our own test aircraft could support the further development of such solutions," unquote. The study will be conducted by Patrick Gavin, head of Airbus Engineering, and Charles Champion, head of Customer Services, and will address both technological and privacy issues. The flight data and cockpit voice recorders on current airliners ping for about 30 days underwater to help searchers locate them. In the case of Flight 447, the recorders were never found, and they're thought to be lying in a rugged ocean floor mountain range miles below the ocean's surface. The NTSB has issued a probable cause report in the 2007 accident that killed a pilot and 9 skydivers near Natchez, Washington. The occupants were on their way home from a skydiving competition in Idaho in a Cessna Caravan. The accident resulted in a lawsuit against Cessna. NTSB says the flight was planned into an area of clouds, turbulence, and icing, which the pilot had researched. He delayed the departure, hoping to make the flight VFR, but a detailed post-crash analysis revealed the pilot probably encountered broken to overcast layers both below and above. Radar data indicated that the pilot was likely maneuvering to go around, above, or below rain showers or clouds while attempting to maintain VFR when he entered clouds during the last 3 minutes of flight and possibly icing and turbulence. The departure from controlled flight was consistent with an aerodynamic stall. Among the other links in his accident chain, the pilot had been at 14,000 feet for an hour without supplemental oxygen, and briefly at 15,000 feet just before the crash. The board says that at these altitudes, the pilot would be substantially impaired by hypoxia, but would have virtually no subjective symptoms and would likely be unaware of his impairment. President Barack Obama has signed a bill to award the Congressional Gold Medal to the women Air Force service pilots of World War II, the first women in American history to fly military aircraft. More than 60 years ago, they piloted fighter, bomber, transport, and training aircraft with a primary mission of flying non-combat military missions in the U.S., freeing men for the combat missions. Their contribution went largely unrecognized for years. They didn't get veteran status until 1977. From 1942 to 43, more than 1,000 women joined the WASPs, and 38 of them made the ultimate sacrifice in performing its mission. The White House notes they paved the way for hundreds of U.S. servicewomen to serve as combat pilots and fly fighter aircraft in subsequent conflicts. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you more about these stories. Rocket Racing League announces a new CEO. Sikorsky flies the X-2 with the prop turning for the first time. And there's a new head of sales at Flight Design. Also, check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves says any pilot who's paid a bunch of money to get an instrument instructor rating without ever being an actual IMC should demand a refund. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find him on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.